Mercy and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our Old Testament lesson, Genesis chapter 9, beginning at the 8th verse. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, I have to admit to you, and maybe it's more of a confession, that when my family and I first moved into the valley, that's been more than 25 years ago now, but when we first moved here, wildfires were a bit of an adventure. That sounds strange, I know, but we never had anything like that growing up back east. Nothing like it at all. And when there was smoke billowing in the sky and you could see the flames at night, in a way it was kind of exciting. But after driving through the Bay Area, especially the North Bay Area, and seeing everything had been torched there, acre after acre, mile after mile, and then there was the fire in Paradise, California, and then there was the fires up north, and now there are fires up north again. After our own Alameda fire, after my family and I had to get into our car and try to flee our neighborhood because there was a wall of flames right nearby. After all of those things happen, your brain kind of gets rewired, doesn't it? You begin to think a little bit differently, and when it gets to be midsummer, this time of year, and the valley bakes day after day under the sun, and the plants begin to get dry and crisp, and the cicadas buzz in the trees, and the clouds begin to build up, and a wind begins to kick up, and you see flashes of lightning in the distance, or maybe even close at hand, it's no big adventure anymore, is it? Your brain says, here we go again. Here we go again. Old Testament lesson. Actually, right before the Old Testament lesson, Genesis chapter 6. The Lord looked down and he saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's mankind's heart. And the Lord regretted that he had made people on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. You go a little further than that, and this is what it says. It says, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and all the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And a little farther on, Genesis chapter 7, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened, and rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, I'm sure that most, if not all of us here, have been through downpours. And when there's a downpour, you know how it is. You get soaking wet just trying to go from your car into the store. Now, imagine that, the downpour, for 40 days and 40 nights, non-stop. In half an hour, flooding would begin. At 24 hours, people would begin finding refuge on their roofs. After 24 hours, you're lucky if you find refuge anywhere. You know, we talk about natural disasters, but what you see described in the Bible was an unnatural disaster, a wildly unnatural disaster. There's a power behind it. There is a fury behind it. There's a rage behind it, an anger behind it. There's a wrath behind it. The natural order is not held back anymore. It gets crazy. It gets out of control. And what you see is the good Lord looking upon human sin and showing you what he thinks about it. And so all mankind was blotted out, and all the animals. And only one man and his family and their animals were saved. And yet, following all of that, the Lord did something. And that comes to us in today's lesson. The Lord placed in the sky a rainbow, something of great beauty, something that was kind of like a peace after the storm. And the Lord explained it. He said, "It will be when I bring a cloud upon the earth, there will be seen the rainbow in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant between me and you and between every living soul, my covenant with all flesh, and there will not be ever again the waters for a flood like this to destroy all flesh. I will see it, and I will remember that eternal covenant between God and every living soul." God sends a rainbow. And I think you can understand why. After everything that Noah and his family have been through, all of the power and the craziness and the fury and the storming and the 40 days of and 40 nights of continuous downpour, it's done something to them. It's rewired their brains. It's scarred them. And every time after that, when storm clouds would form in the sky, there would be a fear that would come. A fear that God's judgment was returning, and they would say to each other, "Here we go again. Here we go again." But actually not so. Because twice the Lord says something. He says, "No, I will see the rainbow. I'll see it, and I will remember." Which sounds kind of strange that God would have to see something and then he would be able to remember it, but that's not really what it's saying. The Lord is not a human being, a man or a woman that he forgets like we do and he needs a reminder and tie a string around his finger. No, what the Lord is saying, he's simply promising something. He says, "I'll see the sign, don't worry. I'll see it. I'll remember the promise. I will not send another flood. I will not forget my mercies." Look at that, you'll know. I'll be looking at it too. I will remember. Which is something that you need, something that I need, because the Lord is not simply going to set aside his judgment. And you can't go on in your life and just say to yourself, "Well, I'm just going to do what I'm going to do and say what I'm going to say and nothing's going to happen." No, book of 2 Peter chapter 3, it escapes people's notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago and that the earth was formed out of water and by water through which the world at that time was destroyed. It was flooded with water. But the present heavens and earth, by his word, are being reserved for fire, kept until the day of the destruction and judgment of ungodly people. The world, it says, is reserved for fire. A day of destruction and judgment, not on all people as with the flood, but on those who do not acknowledge the Lord. The message there is that the Lord is not going to set aside judgment on sin, but there is going to be something in front of his eyes. There is going to be a sign of the covenant between him and you. And the sign of that covenant is not the rainbow. That has to do with the flood. The sign of the covenant is the thing that we see when we first come into church. The cross of our Lord Jesus. And he shed blood on that cross which pardons sinners. Which covers sinners, which renders unrighteous people righteous in God's sight. Your heavenly Father looks at the cross of his Son. He sees that there his wrath was expended, and he declares all who take refuge in that cross righteous in his sight. Now we know from experience that many people see no need for the cross of Jesus. They're probably the same ones that saw no need for Noah to build an ark. but he built it anyway, and God gave his cross anyway. They're probably the folks who say, you know what, it's going to flood. Thanks, Noah, for letting me know. I think I'll find a way to stay afloat on my own. I am a decent person. I am a moral person. I am a good-natured and a good-hearted person. And the world is full of such good people. But when the Lord looks down from heaven, that's not what he's looking for. He's not looking for such good people. What he's looking for is this. He says, a broken and a contrite heart I will not despise. In other words, somebody who holds nothing before God, somebody who has to hide behind something for the wrath of God, has to hide behind the cross and say, Lord, don't look at me. Don't look at me. Look at that. See what happened there. Lord, remember that. Lord, that's where I take refuge. That's where I find my hope. My hope isn't in my goodness. It's not my morality. It's not my good heart. It's not the fact that I'm better than somebody else or worse than somebody else. I take refuge. I find hope in your cross, which is the place where you can find refuge. Just like the ark was the place where Noah and his family found refuge. Because the holiness and the justice of God is not something that you can survive. It's not something that you can argue with. It's not something that you can turn off. If we can put it this way, the only thing you can do with it is cross it off with the cross of your Savior Jesus and hold that before your Heavenly Father and say, Lord, this is what took my sin. This is what made me righteous. This is my hope. Book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For our sake, God the Father made our Lord Jesus to be sin, the one who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so, from time to time, not too much in the summer, but from time to time, we see rainbows. The Lord sees them too. He says, I see it, and there will be no destruction of this world again by a flood. And every Sunday you come into church and you see the cross and know that the Lord sees that too. And he looks upon the cross instead of looking upon you and your sin, and he delivers you, his Christian person, from your sins. He delivers you from the fire. He delivers you into eternal life. So that you say with the words of the psalm today, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, his mercy is everlasting. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.